Turn to Isaiah 40, if you would, please. As in keeping with the flow of this series on the servant songs of Jehovah, we notice that that would be section 42 to 53 would entail four servant songs. Now we see the term song many times throughout the book of Isaiah. And as we've done already, we've looked a bit at how the book of Isaiah is a miniature of the Word of God itself. The 66 chapters likened to the 66 books of the Word of God. We're focusing on the second main section beginning at chapter 40. As you see on our chart, we see the acronym of SON, S-O-N. And so with that, there are the three subsections of the book. Each section ends with the statement, "There is no peace for the wicked." Even though this section is speaking of peace and speaking of comfort, if one does not know Christ as Savior, then they have no peace. There is no peace for the wicked. And thus, we think of those that reject Christ. And so with that, we want to notice in chapter 40, this section reads in verse 1, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably," or that is, to the heart, "to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned or accepted." So we find this section beginning with comfort. And it goes on concerning things concerning Christ and his gospel, as the following verses refer to John the Baptist, which these words are spoken of, quoted in Matthew 3, and so on. And with this great message of the gospel and how that it comes through the Spirit of God and through the Word of God, is down in verse 6 and 7 and 8, we find quotes from the book of 1 Peter, a reminder of how that even though the grass of the earth, it fades away, the flower thereof, but the Word of God endureth forever. So it's the Spirit of God and the Word of God that works in the heart of a lost soul to show them their need of a Savior. Here we find comfort, such as there in verse 9. It ends by saying, "Behold your God." And so there's much concerning the gospel of God in those first 8 verses. But beginning at verse 9 to the end of chapter 40, we find much concerning the character of God. Note that. First 8 verses, the gospel of God. Beginning at verse 9, the character of God. And you'll see one thing right after another, just rhetorical questions. It's kind of like one brother mentioned to me when I spoke on this recently, saying it's kind of like the end of Job. Thinking about these questions about, well, where were you, or how can you answer in light of the eternal sovereign God? And so we are reminded of his great character. And so throughout the 40s, the chapter 40 to 49 and along through there and actually through our text of chapter 53, we see much about the character of God. That's worth studying, to walk through and just see the various things that speak about the character and the work of God, him as creator, him as redeemer, and so on. We'll touch on that as we go. But with that brief introduction to the section that we're in, turn now please to chapter 42. And we come to the first of these four servant songs. Now let me explain what we mean by a servant. When we think of a servant, well, there's many times it's in a plural sense, servants. And we think of being servants of God, and that's various ways it can be used, servants of whatever authority. But when we see the singular term servant, we see that used in unique ways. And that can be used in various ways depending on the context. Israel as a nation is referred to as his servant in certain contexts. But when we come to these servant songs, we see that there is the wonderful application is speaking about the servant, the servant of Jehovah, speaking about a particular individual. Well, there's a difference between a nation and an individual. And here we see the Lord Jesus Christ being lifted up As we begin in chapter 42, we'd like to look at this before we take our first break. We see the delighted servants in chapter 42, these early verses in particular, keeping in mind that Christ is revealed some 700 years before his incarnation. This is the one, as we think of a servant, we think of the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister or to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Mark 10:45. And so we think in this section of this well-known portions that in a sense it's building. There's the climax of when you come to that last of the four servant songs. It actually begins at the end of 52, and those last three verses, I believe, of 52 on through 53. And that's that section we want to spend a couple of messages on, that one section, the Lord willing, tomorrow in our studies. But as we see it build, we begin in chapter 42, the delighted servants. So read with me, if you would, notice in 42 verse 1, we find that word that I mentioned earlier that stands out time and again in this book of Isaiah and in various Old Testament portions, behold. Behold my servant. Pay attention, notice my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor call his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Behold my servant. Turn with me just briefly. Let's go back in chapter 7 and we'll just flip through a few references of Isaiah. Beginning at Isaiah 7, earlier in the study in the series of this book of the movements of Isaiah, we would find this word behold in one of the messianic portions we're so familiar with concerning his incarnation. Behold. 7 and 14, therefore the Lord, Adonai, the Master, himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, that is, God with us. Behold. Another time, as we move forward, we come up to chapter 32, still in the Old Testament section, as it were, but in 32, once again, we find, behold. The very first word, verse, is, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. Behold, a king. Well, we move forward back to where we started in this section, the second main section, chapter 40, if you would please. Chapter 40. Now, as we did note this briefly earlier at the end of verse 9, behold your God. It's interesting that we find that term, behold your God. And if you would please, if you're taking note, it's also in 35:4, behold your God will come with vengeance and so on there, if you're taking note. But here in our text of Isaiah 42, now it's behold my servant. Maybe you've seen a pattern. When you see these beholds in Isaiah, you have seen reference to the Messiah as man in 7:14, as king in 32:1, as God in 40 verse 9, and as servant here in 42 verse 1. As we think of the four Gospels, of how there's much overlap, but there's a unique flow to each of the Gospels. That in Matthew, we see Christ emphasized as the coming King. Is there's much about the King and the Kingdom and that Jewish flow of Matthew. In Mark, we see him emphasize, as I referenced 10:45 a while ago, the one who came not to be served unto, but to serve. We see in Mark, he's emphasized as the servant. When we see Luke, we see the emphasis of him is the perfect man. That's the book that has the most parables, those earthly stories with heavenly meanings. And by the way, the where you find the genealogies in these four books tells a lot about this same pattern. For when you go to the book of John, there you see so much emphasis upon God manifest in the flesh. The Lord Jesus and his deity is what we find so much in John. So Matthew is king, Mark is servant, Luke is man, and John is God. They overlap in each of the books, but we see an emphasis. Just as these beholds in the book of Isaiah bring to bear these truths about the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, as I was about to say about the genealogies, in Matthew there's a genealogy that takes us back and ties in with the genealogy of a king. When you turn to Luke, we see it goes all the way back to Adam. There, of course, the theme being man. But in Mark, there is no genealogy of Christ. The emphasis there is a servant. It's one thing to have a genealogy of a king or of mankind, but we don't usually worry about that when we think in the term of a servant on a practical level. And certainly in John, there's no genealogy listed because there, when you think of God manifest in the flesh, he's eternal. How can you put a genealogy to that? This is the one we've come to remember and to think on in these messianic portions, in these servant songs of Jehovah. He is the perfect coming king, the perfect servant of Jehovah, the perfect man, and he's God manifest in the flesh. As was said earlier, Emmanuel. So in our text of Isaiah 42, verse 1, behold my servant, and we are going to consider the servant of Jehovah time and again. Familiar passages surely come to mind. You think of in the book of Philippians, where it speaks about unity among the body of Christ, as Paul wrote to the saints there at Philippi. And we are reminded in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. And he was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There in that section, we see him as servant, we see him as man, we see him as God. But we're thinking particularly of the servant of Jehovah. We think in Leviticus 1, when you look at all the offerings that picture Christ from the Old Testament economy, how that first one, the burnt offering, we think of doing the Father's perfect will. Behold my servant, whom I uphold. Yes, the servant of Jehovah would do the Father's perfect will. He ever does the Father's will. And so, as we see these things, in verse 1, if you're still with me in our main text, Isaiah 42, 1, he speaks of this, my servant, whom I uphold. That is, here's the one that I display. Here's the one that we look to. Here is Judah's Messiah. And as we look back and we have the value of the entirety of the New Testament, we see him and we see him high and lifted up. This is the one in whom I uphold. We see that in prophecy when he was here on earth of how the Lord spoke of him. We'll see that in a moment. We see him in his exaltation. But let's turn for a moment to Matthew 12. We'll be looking at several this weekend references in the New Testament that come out of Isaiah. So we go to Matthew chapter 12, please. And we'll pick up there at verse 15. 12:15 of Matthew. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles, the nations, trust. So we see these miracles and such things that were done on the Sabbath and so on. And yet following, we find this quote. As you move on, you see the Pharisees falsely accusing him of using the power of Satan to do these miracles. And yet we find the prophet Isaiah is quoted in establishing the connection once again, that this is the one that the Father upholds. This is his delighted Son. Isaiah 42. If you still have a finger there, we'll come back to the Gospels along the way. But behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. Mine elect, you see that, like the chosen one, that term, this term's used also in different contexts, such as Israel and so on, like with concerning future promises and things of that nature. But here we see specifically, we're thinking about the Lord Jesus, the servant of Jehovah, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I'm going back to Matthew. This time in Matthew, we see in chapter 3. This is the one in whom the Father finds all his delight. And we find that in chapter 3, there at his baptism. The one we mentioned earlier from chapter 40 of Isaiah, we see paralleling this chapter here. We see John the Baptist calling for repentance and such, and yet then we see the necessity here at the beginning of the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus, of the Lord Jesus in baptism. 3:3, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him of Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptizing of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. And so as we read on, press on to verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered, said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness, that he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, and went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lightning upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So we find this connection to the one in Isaiah 42, the delighted servant, the one in whom my soul delighteth. We find yet again the Father with that voice coming out from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Quickly, if let's move over to Matthew 17. When we think about this delighted one, the one in whom the Father has found all his delight in. Matthew 17, now we fast forward to the Mount of Transfiguration. 17:1, as we read here, this transfiguration, what a vision, a view this must have been. Verse 3, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. So now there are the three. And we see the outshining. In 2 Peter 1, we find Peter testifying to this. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here, but if thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. There may be three, but there is the one in the center, the one that the focus is to be all about. This is the one the voice from heaven will come speaking about. You know, when we think about the cross of Calvary, and then notice a different context there, but there were three there, and the one and the only one that was the Father's delight, the one that would do his perfect will, the one who died for your sins and mine, hung on that center cross. He's the delighted one. He's the delighted servant of Jehovah. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. I think of what Paul said to the Colossians, speaking about the Son of his dear love. That's who the Lord Jesus is. The Father sees him as the Son of his dear love. So back to our text of Isaiah 42. We notice here in verse 1, still we find it says, I have put my spirit upon him. I have put my spirit upon him. We see the emphasis. Well, we saw that back in Matthew 3, didn't we? It is likened unto that dove coming down. But let's look in Isaiah briefly at a couple of passages back to chapter 11. In that first subsection that we noticed on our outline, where there's several messianic passages, we find Isaiah 11. And we're thinking about the Spirit of God being ever upon this servant of Jehovah. Isaiah 11, notice verse 1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And so we think, of course, the story of Jesse and how Samuel went to find the son of Jesse, the one that would be the king. And we see the Lord Jesus would come from that kingly line. A branch shall grow out of his roots. And, verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Here we see this sevenfold aspects about the Spirit of the Lord being upon this one, this branch. And as we think about this servant of Jehovah, I have put my spirit upon him, we find in our main text. One more connection to that is Isaiah 61. Moving toward the latter part of Isaiah, and we find this wonderful portion that is quoted in Luke 4. We see the connection to the New Testament in Luke 4. But here we see the Spirit of God, Isaiah 61:1. You may recall in Luke there was a time when it was opportunity for the scripture to be read, and the Lord Jesus picked up a certain place in Isaiah and began reading. Well, verse 1 here, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And so we find these things addressed in Luke 4, the Lord could say, this is speaking of me. And so we find here, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. So consistent with our main text here of Isaiah 42, we find these messianic passages reminding us of how the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. So with that, back at our main text, just tying up a little bit of the section we read, verses 2 to 4, we see things that remind us of the Lord's gentleness and his care for those in need or brokenhearted. We see him as he served in humility and with encouragement. as we read even past that section, it's interesting to see things that will perhaps help us as we move on into the other songs. So I'll just briefly note these, beginning there at verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth a breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. Note verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. And so we're reminded here of the character and the work of God in various ways. And yet we know of him as a light unto the Gentiles. The many passages in these chapters 40 to 49 and on past that, that enumerate him and his wonderful work and attributes, that he's Savior, he's Lord, he's Sovereign, he's King, he's Redeemer, he's the first and only, the first and last and only, he's the Overcomer. Time and again, we find his attributes and his work in this section of Isaiah. So when you come to chapter 49 in our next study, we'll see an overlap to that statement there in verse 6 and 7 of a light to the Gentiles. So with that, we'll close this section of study after we read verse beginning at 10. We find once again a song. We find a song that which can be brought to our hearts. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages of that Kedar doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rock sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains, let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. A new song, praise. And it's because there is one that we can read and identify as the delighted servant of Jehovah. I pray this overview and then the beginning textual study of chapter 42 will be precious to our hearts as we look to delve into this further and look at the next three servant songs of Jehovah. With that, let's look to the Lord in prayer, and I'll ask if one of the brothers could close us in prayer and